Hey, this is Susie Larson. If you don't have time to listen to the full podcast, here's a highlight from today's show. The full conversation is at myfaithradio.com. You outline 7 steps to a healthy family in your book, The Smart Step Family, Ron. And if we can, I want to get through as many of these as possible. But the first one is discover a redemptive God who loves, forgives, and provides strength and direction for the journey. And under that point, you said that sometimes the problems and heartaches associated with step families can actually sometimes be a distraction to what's really important. So unpack that for us, if you would.
Yeah, well, Satan's always trying to pull down our relationships, because if he can get those, then he gets us. He gets our discouragement. He gets us defeated, and then, you know, we don't know what to do with ourselves. And like we talked about earlier, sometimes we get marginalized from other Christians in the church that can be a support to us, and so it just tears at our soul, right? So anytime, oh, by the way, he gets the next generation too, right? He gets our kids. And so anytime family is done well, and I don't care what kind of family, first family, single parent family, step family, anytime it's done well, it's a redemptive organism. It passes faith to the next generation. It fosters, it incubates faith within the home. It helps to mature the adults and the children to be more like Christ. And so ultimately, you know, that's what family ministry is about, is helping us get to that place where our family is a place of faith and faith development. And trusting in a redemptive God, I think, sometimes is challenging for people in step families, especially if you've made some choices in your life that brought great consequence to yourself or others. Maybe choices that were considered sinful. Maybe choices that cost you dearly in terms of your relationship with people at church. And so how do you come back from that? And I'm just always reminded of two things when I look at Scripture. All the Old Testament family, or most of the Old Testament families, had a great complexity to them. You know, whether they're exactly like modern-day stepfamilies, they're pretty close. And the other thing we see is the woman at the well, right? Jesus encountering the woman who had a pretty sordid and difficult relationship history, and yet he uses her. He talks to her. He's got living water for her. He turns her into an evangelist. Mm. She goes and tells other people to come and meet the one who told me everything I ever did, and somehow it's okay. That's the Christ that we'd love for you to step up and meet. He's more than happy to take you where you are to where he wants you to be.
Yeah, and he can do that. And the next one you talked about is adjust your expectations and learn how to cook a step family. Mm-hmm. I'd love for you to explain what you mean, because you don't actually like the term blended family so much. Talk about that.
Well, you know, we use it a lot, and it's a term that people use. It's just not very practical in terms of how you actually bring together the members of your family. You know, if we think in cooking strategies or cooking terminology, really what a step family, what a blended family is doing is trying to take a bunch of people, ingredients, if you will, who have been all tossed into the same bowl together, and you're trying to figure out how to become a family to one another. It starts with the couple. They fall in love, and they become husband and wife, but everybody else now has to kind of figure out, what does that mean for us? I got a step sibling, I got a stepdad, I got a step grandfather, but I also have a grandfather. And so what does that mean? How do I relate to these people, and under what circumstances? And so figuring that out really is the hard work of being a step family. So I like to talk about it as a cooking strategy. If you use a blender, you just slam all the ingredients together. That's what blenders do. In real life, that makes people really irritated and annoyed with one another. It just adds conflict. If you slam together, for example, hey, I'm not your dad, but you're going to call me dad, that's a classic illustration of a blendering mentality. I'm not your dad, but you're going to call me dad. So we're slamming this thing together, and you're going to feel about me the way I want you to feel about me. Well, that's just really hard on kids, and it doesn't go over very well. Every once in a while, that'll work. But 99% of the time, it doesn't. It backfires. So we talk about crockpotting, you know, your family. Mm-hmm. And that's much different. Notice crockpots are slow. It works over time. It takes low heat, not high heat. Low heat means you're going to be intentional. You're going to do things that are helpful to build a relationship. But you're not going to slam ingredients together and force it. You're going to let it happen on its own time. Now that, you want to talk about trust. We just went all the way back to trust. Trust in the Lord in the meantime, while you don't really like me. Well, that's really hard to do. But that's exactly what you kind of have to endure on your way to figuring out how to like one another.
Thanks again for listening to this highlight from Live the Promise. If you missed the whole show or want to listen to past programs, you can find them at our website at myfaithradio.com.